Welcome to Her Take, a podcast by three best friends sharing their take on just about anything. I'm Jen.
I'm Kira.
And I'm Jackie.
Thanks for joining us. Let's get into it. Welcome back to another episode of Her Take. It's Jen here. I'm back. Sorry, I missed last week.
Good to have you back.
Yes, I was telling Jackie and Kira that I enjoy listening to the episode more when I'm not a part of it because I'm not sitting there critiquing myself the whole time. So I could just enjoy the episode. But I'm back now. Sorry to leave y'all hanging last week, and am joined as per usual by my lovely co-hosts, Jackie and Kira. And, you know, today in New York, it's a little rainy right now. I think it's supposed to rain the next couple days, but it's spring. We're all getting vaccinated. Life is slowly going back to normal, or the new normal. So we're happy to share how our lives have been changing because of that. But also, we're thinking about having a little Mother's Day episode. So we understand that this can be tough for some people for various reasons. So, you know, no pressure to listen to this if it triggers you in some way. But just wanted to give a little love to our moms on this week's episode. But before we get into that, we're going to do our regular check-in where we talk about what's going on in our lives, how we're feeling, how we're doing. So to kick us off, I'm going to turn it over to Jackie. Jackie, how are you? How has your week been?
I'm all right. So I got my second vaccine earlier this week, and actually I actually went into the office yesterday or Thursday and Friday because my boss had been in town for a couple of days before, and then he was finally coming into the office this week. There's like a case that we have going on, and he was like, if you want to, like, if not, like, I'm gonna be here, it'd be nice to like see you. And like, there were like hardly any people. There were just like a couple of some of like the law clerks that like go in that have to do like, they have to do like some in-person work. It's just easier for them. And I had like my mask on the whole time, so it was fine. And I'm not fully vaccinated, I guess, because it hasn't been 2 weeks, but I've received my second shot and everyone else around me was fully vaccinated. So it was like a nice change. I'm not going to go back. Like, I was like also thinking, I probably won't go back to the office before I finish work and start grad school. So it was nice to just go in, saw a couple of people, check in that everyone is okay. And stuff like that. So it was, you know, it was interesting. I drove in and then the next day I took the train because the driving was just a nightmare. And I felt pretty secure considering like taking public transportation and everything. So so that was interesting. The days really flew by. So to an extent, I'm like, oh, it's kind of nice to be in the office. But I definitely do prefer working from home, I've decided.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, I just, or you know what it was also, there were not many people in the office. So I just thought to myself, I could just be home now.
Right.
And like, no one else is here. Yeah. So there was a little bit of that. But yeah, so that was a nice change. It was nice. It was funny because there's this this guy who I guess he has a cart and he sells hot dogs and waters and things like that. And I used to say hi to him every day, like on my way back from leaving work on my way to the train, and I saw him again, and it was just nice to know he's okay. He's an older gentleman, and it was just nice to know that he is fine. He looks okay. I don't know who knows what might have happened in the last year, but he is there and healthy as far as I can see. So that was nice. So that was an interesting development. So fortunately I had no side effects from the second vaccine. I felt good. And big update in my life, right? So I permed my eyelashes this week as well. It was a big week for me.
We know.
And what can I say? Honestly, it was a little annoying to do it. It took me about an hour plus to do the whole thing. It was a pretty simple process, but I couldn't get, you have to glue with lash glue these silicone rollers to your eyelids, and that's like what your eye, or that's what your eyelashes sit on so that they actually like curl back. It was kind of tricky to get them to stick on and to stay in place. Eventually, I sort of figured it out. So that was the most tedious and sort of challenging part. But honestly, I think it was worth it. And my eyelashes look like I have mascara on all the time. But they don't look crazy. Like, they don't look... obviously, like they're lashes. Just my... Yeah, they just look like they're my eyelashes. So that is nice. And I've had them on for almost a week at this point, and there's been no change in terms of how effective the perming process has been. So I guess it's going to do, hopefully it'll stay on for, or hopefully it'll be like this for at least 6 weeks. That's what the box says, 6 to 8 weeks. So that is just an endeavor that I went through. It was an interesting process, and, you know, because it's just so expensive to do it, to have it done professionally. And I know that professionals will do it better than I can do it. I don't claim to be better than the professionals, but when I see a price tag of $180 to get my lashes permed, and then I can buy a kit for $20, I can't resist the $20 kit. That's absolutely just who I am. So, yeah. Big things going on this week. Lots changing.
Did you do it before and after?
I did. Okay. I did. I should send them to you guys. Yeah, of course.
You should put them on the pod
story. I'll
put
them on the Herd Take Instagram story.
Hashtag lashes. Yeah. Permed lashes.
At home perm.
My cousin just did henna eyebrows.
Oh,
and it
wow.
actually looks
could
so
that.
Good. Yeah. It wouldn't make sense for, because our hair is darker. You know, she has lighter hair. She's blonde.
Right.
So it's kind of like, but it looked so natural and perfect.
Yeah.
But it only lasts, like, how much did she say? Like, 2 or 3 weeks? I was like, you can't go get that done every 2 or 3 weeks. But it looked really good.
She should look into getting it microbladed.
My sister did microblading.
She did. Yeah. I think she did do microblading before, but that's expensive, too.
Mm-hmm. But I think it lasts longer.
Yeah, it does.
My sister did that because... Yeah, my sister did that, even though we have dark hair, she has just very, very light, or her eyebrows, the brow hair is very sparse and it's very fine, so they're not, her brows aren't as dark as mine, also, and so she did it and it looked really good. It lasts about 6-7 months, but it is, I think upwards of like $600, so it's an investment. So, don't take your eyebrows for granted, people, because it is expensive. It's expensive to maintain your certain status quo, this sort of ideal that we all want. So,
yeah.
It's all a scam.
I mean, eyelashes, too. Like, getting your eyelashes permed professionally. Or I've looked into getting mine tinted because the tips of my eyelashes are very blonde.
Mm. Yeah.
It's all very expensive.
Yeah.
If there's an at-home kit, Jen, try it. You never know.
I'm like, not that passionate about it, but I've thought about it. I also don't really trust myself, so that's a whole other thing. So
yeah.
Oh, well. Well, Jackie, thank you for sharing. Seems
like always.
You had a lot going on this week. A lot of good things.
Yeah, so exciting that you went into work.
Yeah, I was not sure about it, and then I drove in, and obviously that's about as low risk as it can get, but it was just such a pain in the neck to drive into the city. I really had convinced myself that it was still going to be, like...
empty.
That there would still be... Yeah, it would be the April traffic images, or April 2020 traffic images that you saw in New York City. It's just totally dead. And... it wasn't.
Yeah, I don't know who these people are that think New York City is dead.
Tucker Carlson wrote some stupid article, or who was the other one? Like Bill O'Reilly. They wrote the New York Times actually published it. It was New York City is dead. That was the title of the article.
Well, last year at this time, certainly. Right now, absolutely not.
Yeah.
To be fair, like businesses are probably going to move out of the city. Like there are going to be some things that are going to change, but like New York City itself will recover.
Yeah.
I do think that the taxes are a problem and companies are going to leave the city and everyone's going to work from home and all that's going to be a problem. But New York City itself isn't going to die.
Yeah. Depends. I will say this, that so when I took the train, I took my normal walk from Grand Central to the office. So I saw my normal route. And a lot has changed. There's been a lot of construction. And one that I noticed most dramatically, and that's actually where there is, it used to be 270 Park Ave is where the JP Morgan Chase building used to be. It is currently being demolished, and it's almost done being demolished. And I walked up to the building because that's where, on my route, right? And I was so startled that it wasn't there. And they're building a whole new building, and they still went through with the project during COVID. And so I think to an extent, there are going to be businesses moving out, but then you also see JP Morgan building a whole brand new super high rise. And obviously they don't plan on that being empty. Do you know what I mean? So
that's what, I was just about to say, like the banks are bringing in their employees like ASAP. I think a lot of banks said June. So it just depends on the industry. I think a lot of companies are probably doing what mine are and going to be doing a hybrid model where you're like in a couple times a week, home a couple times a week, so I don't think it's as dead as people think it is. And I think a lot of people are probably in the same mindset as me, like New York or nowhere, like this is where it's at and it's better to be here than anywhere else. Anywho, thanks for sharing, Jackie.
Yeah, always.
Kira, how are you doing? How has your week been?
I'm good. Not much going on. I also got the second shot, but I had some symptoms, but it was fine. Just took some Tylenol and felt okay. That was kind of it. Then I just had school and not much going on with school yet because it was the first week, so pretty chill. And that's my week. No updates, nothing exciting, pretty boring. As per usual.
She's back in school, better than ever, vaccinated, ready to take on the world. There you go, Kiki. Well, even though not much going on, I think getting the second shot and starting your, is it a semester? I feel like it's so early. I guess it's like summer classes.
Yeah, it's summer semester.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, no, it's definitely, and it'll pick up next week, I'm sure. Just this week was very chill.
It's like syllabus
meeting
week.
Yeah, exactly, meeting professors. So I kind of treated it like another week off and was a little unproductive also because I didn't feel too great the beginning of the week. So next week hopefully it'll be more productive.
You know what, we all know this, it's fine to slack off a little bit, and it's almost, or at least this is how I feel, when I'm a little bit busier I'm a little bit more productive. Like,
me
when you
too.
Don't have as much going on, it's, like, hard to motivate yourself to do anything. So.
Yeah. I agree.
I feel you. Well, good luck with school. Good luck with the second semester.
Let us know
how it goes. We'll be thinking about you. And happy to see that we're all vaccinated and on the road to immunity.
So exciting.
Whoop, whoop. I guess I will share my check-in. So. Related to Jackie, I did not go into work, but a couple, or a decent amount rather, of my work friends are back in the city. So we've been scheming for a while. We finally had an in real life happy hour. And guys, I could have cried. It was so, I missed them so much. And it was just so nice to like see people in person. And we've been doing like Zoom happy hours. It's really just not the same.
And
it was just so nice. Like
There's nothing like getting drunk in person.
Yeah. Not that we were like really that drunk. Like I definitely was feeling it. And it was, you know, we're sitting down. And I didn't realize until I was walking home. I was like, ooh, I'm actually feeling it a little bit. But no, it was just so nice. Like we got together around 6:30 and I think I came home around 11. Like we just had so much to catch up on, you know, complaining about work, gossiping about people and giving life updates and all that. One of my friends from work is engaged now, so I was talking to him about that. Very exciting. So it was definitely a highlight of my week was seeing my work friends in person. And I think we're definitely going to try to plan something again and maybe expand it to the wider group, just because the people that I saw are sort of like our core friend group in that we all interned together. We all started at the same time. So we have like a little group chat and stuff, but we all have like other friends in the office as well. So it'd be nice to like see other people too. So I'm looking forward to that. And everyone's like vaccinated and we did outdoor dining anyway, but you know, I felt very safe seeing them and it was so nice. So I'm looking forward to seeing them more often.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, for me, I've been like really happy lately. I think New York, like we were mentioning, is alive. Like the weather's nice. My roommate and I have been going to Madison Square Park fairly often to walk the dog.
Love
and
it.
It's just like such a nice way to get out and feel like you're in nature and see what's going on. But, you know, a lot of people are here. A lot of things are opened up. And I think with people being vaccinated or at least somewhat vaccinated, like people just feel so much more comfortable, like going out and, you know, socializing with other people. So I'm just very happy about spring and being vaccinated and New York being alive and socializing and doing things. I definitely feel like in the past month I've been so much more busier. And even last weekend, the reason I wasn't on the podcast last weekend was I had two family parties on Saturday. So I went home. I haven't gone to a family party since pre-COVID. So, you know, maybe like here and there, I've seen like a cousin here, a cousin there. But generally speaking, like I haven't seen family members all together in so long. And it was just, it's so nice. I feel like things are finally going back to normal. Could cry, not going to cry, but I'm like, oh my God, finally. It's like, you know, we've talked about this and it is like such a weird adjustment. Like I still, even at the family party, I was feeling like, oh my God, should we all be gathering like this? But I'm like, well, I'm vaccinated and most of the people here are. Like that's kind of why we get vaccinated. So anyway, I'm just feeling good. Fam.
Yeah, that's exciting. Yeah, I feel that. I understand how you feel. I remember you talked about last year. I don't know if you ended up going. You said that you were going to meet up with your cousin somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You were all outside and it was kind of a big deal and you weren't sure and it was sort of kind of unnerving and you saw just a few people.
Yeah.
And that was sort of nerve-wracking and scary because obviously this was, I don't remember, last fall or in the summer. And I don't remember when it happened. And obviously no one was vaccinated. There were no vaccines.
I know. That was my cousin Emily turned 21 in June. And that was like really the first time I like socialized with people outside of my house.
Yeah.
And there was like eight of us. It was really just like the kids. It was like me, my brother, my cousin Emily, her boyfriend, her brother, and then my cousin Lauren, her brother and his girlfriend. So it wasn't that many of us and we were like in the backyard and stuff like that. But even that was like, I was scared at that time. But I mean, like, you know, my family does like these big parties. We'll go out to the Hamptons and like all this stuff. And none of that has happened. The one party that we went to was a baby shower for my cousin Christy. Like she's been pregnant obviously since October. She's due next month. It's like I hadn't even seen her pregnant.
Wow, it's a long time. That feels like a long time to be pregnant.
Yeah. So
9 months.
It's like we just don't get together. And
wow, never I can't ends. Believe you got to carry that around. Sorry, not her child, not that around.
Yeah, but it was nice. And the second family party is my mom's side of the family, my second cousins who have been having parties since the fall and we haven't gone. But now we're all vaccinated. So and I felt bad because two of them recently got married. We didn't go to the wedding because it was in March.
COVID.
But, like, I was sort of not sure if I was going to enjoy that party. And it was so nice. It was just nice seeing everyone. So
it's definitely nice. Emotional. I have, I think in June I have plans, like, every weekend. And it was kind of stressing me out because – again, everybody's vaccinated. The people I'm seeing are all vaccinated. But it's like you don't feel different being vaccinated. You know, there was no like.
It's like an adjustment.
You're all good mindset now. Adjustment. Yeah, it's like you just have to like trust that it's working. So it is like a really like working yourself up to like, this is okay. This is something we can do. Mm-hmm. 'Cause we just spent a year being told like, don't go outside. It's scary. So you have to kind of like slowly, there was an article this week that was like, why fully vaccinated people are still going to wear masks. And it was basically like, 'cause you just told them for the past year to be scared that they might die if they go outside. So yeah, they're going to keep wearing a mask.
Right.
But it's also emotional, like just thinking about seeing friends again in a more like relaxed setting, not being so like, stay away from me, high from 10 feet away. So yeah, it's pretty crazy to see that everybody's in America. At least everybody's doing pretty well. Those who want to get vaccinated are vaccinated.
Yeah. Definitely an adjustment, but I think I can speak for all of us in saying that we're excited for things to go back to somewhat normalcy and seeing our friends and family and settings and not being as paranoid as we have been. But it will be an adjustment for all of us.
Yeah.
With that, a bit of a pivot. So for this week's episode, like I mentioned in the beginning, Mother's Day was this past Sunday. And so we were thinking about having a chit-chat about our moms and what they mean to us, how our relationships with them have evolved over time, and just giving our moms some love. And like I mentioned at the top of the episode, we know that Mother's Day can be really difficult for some people if you've lost a mother. Or for other various reasons. So if you do not wish to listen to this portion of the episode, no pressure. You can skip ahead to our hot takes if you decide to. But for, you know, we wanted to talk about our moms this week because it's Mother's Day and we love
our moms. Because we love our mommies.
We love our moms. And I think all of us are very fortunate to have our mothers pretty involved in our lives. I believe we all have pretty close relationships with our moms and everything. So just want to acknowledge that we're all very grateful and very lucky to have that because not everybody does. So that's just kind of how I wanted to start things off. But Jackie, Kira, does anyone want to start, you know, just giving our moms some love?
Yeah. Well, I was just sort of thinking about how my relationship with my mom has changed. And I don't think it's changed where it wasn't a good obviously, it's always been a good relationship. I just think that my mom has sort of changed in a way. And I think over the years, she's become, I think, a little more... I think it's because now all of her kids are older. I'm the youngest, right? And so I'm 24. And so she's done raising children. Yeah. And so
just Skipper now.
Yeah. I think like in some ways, like my mom and I's relationship has changed where it's sort of more relaxed and a little more, we're more like friends now instead of mother and daughter. I mean, at the risk of just making it sound like Gilmore Girls, but I think like, for example, my mom and I can drink and hang out together and my mom can kind of cut a rug and let loose when she wants to, where I think the mother that I had growing up, I mean, not that I was such a square as a child. I never drank before the age of 21. But I don't think that she would have done that or would have really seen it as super appropriate. So I think in some ways, my relationship with my mom has changed where it's more, I think a little more relaxed, a little more, I think we definitely are more like best friends now, which is really fun. Yeah, because my mom, and you know, also you have to think about how my mom grew up. My mom spent her, like most of her, into her adulthood in El Salvador, where it's a much more kind of, I don't want to say it's a rigid society, but I think roles are very limited. You know, parents were extremely strict and your parent was always your parent. Your parent could never be your friend. And I think that has changed to an extent there. But I think like how my sisters grew up is very different to how I grew up, obviously. And the relationship now, my mom is very just relaxed and is just having fun being a grandma and whatever. But I think that's sort of how it's changed between me and her. And honestly, Yeah, we're, I mean, because we're super close. Like, my mom and I probably catch up more. I usually just kick my dad out of bed, and I just lie in bed with my mom and just watch TV with her. So that's usually where we catch up and, like, do things. Yeah. Because my mom watches a lot of television. She doesn't listen to this, so she's not going to get offended. And it's true. My mom watches, my mom must watch 3 hours plus of television each night. So I just have to chat with her during commercial breaks. And I just sit there and watch whatever she's watching. Because then I love it to spend time with my mommy. Yeah.
Cute.
So, I think that's probably the case for most of us. That
yeah, I was gonna say I would agree. Like, it's definitely changed since we were children, but not that it was bad when we were children. It's just like she was more mom-like, and now she's more friend-like. But similar to what you're saying, also about like how your mom was raised in a different way. I think now that I'm older and I learn more about my parents growing up and like their stories, and both my parents had complicated relationships with their parents, so you can see where they've tried to be a little different. Like my mom left home for college and never went back, whereas like me and my brother are both here right now. Like they were not, they did not transition into like a good adult relationship in that sense where they became friends. And I don't even really think my mom necessarily tried to force that to happen, you know. I think it just is how we are as people. Like, she was just like a different parent than her mom. I also think my mom and I are personality wise very similar, so that's why it's easy.
Yeah,
people with more difficult relationships with their mom, you know, sometimes that's just personality butting heads. Like, my mom and I have very similar interests, so it's kind of easy to be friends.
I feel that. I would agree with both of you. I think my relationship with my mom has evolved from her being my mom and actively trying to raise me into this good person, decent person. And I might not have been as much of a square as like Jackie was, maybe more of like a squirrel.
Jen got down.
But I didn't really get in trouble that much.
No, no,
I
in high school was you not were like.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you were always a good kid.
I think, like, compared to some of the other kids, I was not as problematic. I mean, I certainly got in trouble.
You weren't blacking out on the weekends, Jen.
Yeah, no, none of that. But, but yeah, it was definitely different growing up because I felt like, you know, your mother has to actively raise you and she's more of a mom and authority figure. And then, you know, once you go to college and then graduate from college, it's sort of like, at that point, they can't like discipline you as much, and at that point they just hope for the best and hope that you've turned out okay. And so your relationship evolves into more of a friendship, and I definitely feel that that's the case with my mom. I think I've always been very open with my parents. I'll always like talk to them about things and say things like, oh yeah, Jackie and Kira and I are recording the podcast this weekend and this drama's happening over here and whatnot. So I've always been pretty open with my parents, but I think as I've gotten older, I've become even more open. I think the conversation has been more meaningful as well, and it's less so like gossip and more so actually talking about, you know, the deeper level of things and talking about things like politics and all that with both my parents, not just my mom. But and I've appreciated being on that level with my parents where, you know, obviously I'm not quite a peer, but I think I feel more equal to them than I did growing up. And I appreciate that.
You can resonate with each other, I
think. For sure.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And I also think, similar to Kira, my mom and I are also very similar personality-wise, which means that we get along really well. But also, I think it means that we butt heads more, because I think both of us are very like strong and stubborn, and we kind of fight in the same way, whereas my dad and I pretty much never fight, and we get along very well. But if I'm fighting with anyone, it's usually my mom. But it's always like stupid things. Like, I got mad at her last weekend when I went home because she's like, I threw out all of our nail polish because it was all crusty and gross and old. And I was like, how do we not have any nail polish in this whole house? Now I got to go to this party, my toes bare, like
naked, you know, toes,
things like that. Yeah. So it's like silly things like that. But at the end of the day, like, my mom is my best friend, and I love like calling her and, you know, the conversation is never just 10 minutes. It always goes on for an hour. But that's what I love about my mom. And I'm happy that our relationship has evolved similar to your guys' relationships with your moms into being more of a friend, less of a parent-daughter relationship.
I think as you guys were saying that, I think now, like, also how given my mom and my grandma's relationship, so her mother, their relationship, it's a good relationship, obviously. There's no tension. There's never been anything in their relationship. But I just think about how my mom, and it's different because my mom doesn't see my grandmother in person that much. And so, but I just think about how sometimes, so often, she has to tiptoe around the topics, certain things with my grandma. And for example, I just remember only up until a couple of years ago, my mom would never wear pants in front of my grandmother. She always wore skirts. So when we go to El Salvador, she would fly with pants on because you're not going to sit on an airplane in a skirt. She would have an outfit that she would change in right before landing because my grandmother often went to the airport with my uncle to pick us up. And so she had to be changed.
Wow.
Before leaving the airport, and she would change. And I just told her a couple years ago, and I said, Mom, it doesn't matter. Like, I don't think it really matters. I don't think that my grandmother thinks that when it's 30 degrees in New York that you're wearing a skirt. I really don't know. So that's actually kind of a funny thing that I don't think I have to hide anything from my mom. But now she wears pants in front of my grandmother. We're real wild down here. We've really just let loose. But that's kind of funny how sometimes you hide things from people that you're closest because you're so worried about their opinion or you don't want their judgment. And it seems like kind of silly, but I understand where she's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because my grandmother doesn't know what pants are. She doesn't understand.
Right. Again,
you know
a different culture, a different
location.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, well, but it's even kind with of fun. My grandma, the one that lives close by, is like the 4'11 little Italian lady. I mean, she was just a ball of...
I hope you meet a nice man soon.
Every day. But it's like, she is just like a little ball of anxiety. So there are just some things that we don't tell her because it's just
a 4'11 ball of anxiety.
Yeah.
Cute.
Yeah, that is Teresa Beltre in a nutshell. But, you know, we don't need to like tell her everything because she's, you know, she's a little crazy like that. Like she doesn't know. We've told her that my roommate and I knew each other from work because God forbid she knew I was like living.
What
with
do you
someone
mean you
met
on an app? Yeah, or something.
Yeah, so she would freak out. I mean, she's already like freaking out about me living in New York
living
City
in the
because
city,
she thinks
yeah.
I'm gonna get murdered on the streets, which is a possibility, but.
But anywhere
she's
you
crazy.
Go, you know?
I mean, also, the sky could fall. Do you know what I mean?
It's... Exactly. But that's just how she is. And so...
No, I understand.
But yeah, but my mom is still very close with my grandma. And I think what's interesting is realizing as you get older and your parents get older as well, the roles sometimes reverse. And now it's like you're taking care of your parents and all of that. So... you know, I thankfully am not in that boat yet, but it's something to be cognizant of because inevitably our parents are going to get older and are going to need our help. And how are you going to go about that? So.
I mean, it's true. It's life. And I've seen my parents both have to go through that with their own parents. And for my mom, I feel bad because my mom's an only child. And I do think that's hard to go through. On your own. But yeah, it makes me so sad to think about that.
Hard pivot.
Something I was also thinking about, kind of unrelated, but like thinking about myself as a parent and also the fact that I feel like I thought there was a pandemic baby boom because I feel like everyone is pregnant right now, which makes sense. Like if you were just home for a year, and you're with someone, might as well have a baby. But turns out the birth rate is actually going down. So I guess I
was
wrong.
Just thinking that.
Yeah, the New York is losing. This is very off topic now, but New York is losing a couple of house seats, which is disconcerting. So I'm a little annoyed. I'm just thinking,
It's still not going to convince me to have a baby right now.
So. No, me neither, but...
I'm pissed at these New Yorkers that are leaving the state, and I guess they're moving to Texas and Florida because they're
California
gaining
too. Everybody in California is leaving to go to Texas, and I'm like, I don't care how much I have to pay. I would stay in New York or California. I'm not going to Texas.
Texas? Sorry, Texas, but Texas? Come on. Florida? Maybe, because I could just go to Miami, but I don't want to go to Miami.
Miami is the only place I would go in Florida.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, unrelated.
Classic New York digs against all other states.
Yeah, I would move to Connecticut. But, like, nothing else
I would
matters.
Move to Connecticut in a heartbeat, obviously, but I wouldn't move anywhere else.
I mean, it makes sense to me that the birth, like, I was surprised by how many people seem to be having babies, but it makes sense to me that the birth rate would go down because who wants to bring a child into this mess? Like, the world is not nice right now.
Also, like, Japan's birth rate is stressing me out. Sorry, go ahead, Jen.
No, I was going to say, on one hand, you're home, you're not doing much, you might as well.
Right. Get a dog,
but
though.
On the other hand, it's like, you don't know how COVID's going to be.
Do you really adoptions wanna, like, are up.
Right.
Deliver a baby, and there's COVID.
Yeah.
I don't know. I personally wouldn't.
A lot of, there still is, unfortunately, you know, a lot of economic uncertainty. So, you know, these days, you know, having a baby, you've really got to think about it. As an economic decision.
You can't return them. You have to keep them forever.
Decision.
That's what really gets to me about children.
Right.
Like,
you can't just decide that
just
your kids
are yours.
You are
forever.
Yeah.
It kind of really freaks me out, but that's because I still consider myself 16 and can't comprehend having a child.
I would like to be a mother one day, but thinking about that happening in the near future is kind of scary, but also kind of scary because your biological clock doesn't care if you're ready or not. Your eggs just might dry up one day. So things to think about. And that's why grandma's pushing the, have you been a nice boy?
Right.
Yeah.
I get it, grandma.
Did you, speaking of unplanned pregnancies, or a woman gave birth on a flight to Hawaii prematurely. Did you see that? And she didn't know she was pregnant. She was 29 weeks pregnant.
How do people still not know they're pregnant? I really don't like
your
that show.
Your period doesn't just randomly stop.
Speaking
everyone.
Of TLC, like, TLC did have that show, I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant. And I never totally understood that.
And for some, God knew what he was doing because there was a doctor and three NICU nurses on board. This flight. So,
thank goodness.
That, like, kind of hilarious.
Is the baby okay? You said 29 weeks.
Terrifying.
A baby seems fine. I mean, I think the baby is probably in the NICU, but apparently mother and baby are doing well.
I've always wondered that because, like, I feel like I would never, I just wouldn't know if I'm pregnant.
You're going into labor and you don't know that you're pregnant and then you're trying to figure out what the hell's going on.
And, like, was she drinking the whole time? Like, that stuff makes me concerned because you don't know. Like, she wasn't doing it on purpose, but she didn't know she was pregnant. But yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't like that either. I hope everyone's okay.
Please use birth control or condoms or something, fam.
Yeah, or like,
not that
I don't know.
Perfect, but still.
Connect with your body. What's going on?
Anyways.
Anyway. Where I was going was like thinking about like the kind of parent. Because like I said, my parents had complicated relationships with their parents. So I can see like the things that they've tried to do differently. And I've realized like, there are some things where I'm like, oh, I would do that differently. And I'm like, actually, like, I probably wouldn't because I can, like, understand certain things that, like, I was upset about maybe in the past. And now I can understand why my parents did what they did. And I've realized, like, I would probably be a very similar parent to my parents, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think I'll probably be fairly similar as well. I won't deprive my kids of a dog. That at this age.
Oh my God, you're so Aiden. Rude. Aiden is the same. Like, I will let my kids have as many dogs as they want.
I mean, you know, similar to you, Kira, when you grow up, you kind of realize why you couldn't have a pool in the backyard and like why you couldn't like do XYZ.
You get it now
that you're older. Mm-hmm. But the dog thing, I'm 25 and I am still bitter. But
the dog thing, I understand though.
Yeah.
Because no one was home during the day.
I get it. My mom was home a lot. I kind of get it, but I'm hurt still. Anyways, so that's like the one big thing I would probably change. And then, you know, like little things here and there. Like my mom like hates hosting people and I'm so the opposite.
My mom too.
Yeah, like hates having people over. And it would like stress me out growing up because I like having people over and mm-hmm. always and still to this day, I'm always like, oh, like come to my apartment, come here, like more than happy to host you. And I felt like when you're growing up, it puts you in an awkward position because it's not your house and you can't like invite your friends over just because,
yeah,
you know. But other than that, I'm like, I think my parents did a fairly decent job.
Yeah.
I think my brother and I turned out fairly decent.
I super agree. The hosting thing is one thing where I have strayed, like even in college when I have my own place. And our apartment was very small. But anytime we could do Friendsgiving, I was like, come to our apartment. We're having Friendsgiving. Yeah, we're having brunch. And you can't really – obviously, I've had friends over. But, yeah, it is different. I shouldn't say my mom hates hosting. It just stresses her out a little bit when we host holidays and stuff. Or it makes it
difficult to enjoy sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. Which I totally understand.
Yeah. Well, I think my mom's plan worked because I came out exactly like her. We're pretty much identical in every way. We both enjoy hosting. We get stressed out hosting, but we do enjoy having people at our house. Mm-hmm. And we both overbuy. We overdo everything. My mom and I have the same philosophy on pretty much everything. I would rather have too much food, too much damn food. I'd rather have leftovers for a week than not have the thought of not having enough mm-hmm. is terrifying. And that is something that I carry out in different aspects of my life. Not enough anything, not having enough of anything is scary to me. And that's my mom. My sister is one of my sisters nightmare. Is, yeah. Oh my gosh. Terrifying. One of my sisters is not like that. She wants to make just enough. God forbid you have leftovers. I won't call out which sister, but she knows who she is. So that's kind of funny. So yeah, it's Lillian. She's like, we gotta, I told her, we were talking last night, and I said, with peace and love, I say this with peace and love, okay? And that's, I'm stealing that from Ethan Klein of the H3 podcast, I didn't come up with that. With peace and love, you need to buy more. You need, if you want to do things, you need to make enough food, because you don't.
I agree.
Peace but and love.
There are people, and maybe this is just my perception, because we're Italian, although I imagine, Jackie, your family's similar, where it's like, it's overboard. Like, we had Easter with six people, and it was like we were having, like, full company over.
Yeah.
We didn't need that.
I don't know how to make less.
That's fair. I mean, leftovers are great. Holiday leftovers. Yeah. So, it's not a bad thing.
I think of it, like, as an insurance policy, you know? I want to have enough. And then if I have too much, then I don't have to cook the next 5 days.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is, you know, definitely a good trait to get from your mom. Yeah. We'll keep that in mind, Jackie. Once you have your own place, we're going to come to you so that you feed us well.
Always. I love it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I thought that this was a great little chit chat about our moms, birth rates, all that stuff. At the end of the day, I think we're all grateful for our parents and especially our moms, and just want to tell our moms that we love them. Happy Mother's Day, fam.
Happy Mother's Day. You're listening. Day.
Thanks, Mom.
Thanks, Mom. I think we are gonna pivot to our hot takes for the week. So this is the portion of the episode where we just go off about pop culture stuff and all of our little guilty pleasures. So Jackie, any hot takes to share with the class?
I do. This is actually a true hot take. So New York City announced that they are replacing snow days with remote learning. So,
rude.
Snow days are dead in New York City, and as you can imagine, people are pissed, myself included. I'm not even a parent. I don't even live in New York City. This has not happened in Westchester yet, so it doesn't directly affect... I mean, I'm not in school. I'm not in elementary. I'm not in public school anymore, right? So it doesn't really affect me, but I just thought it was so bizarre. I thought it was a very weird move. And they tried to, so whoever, I guess like the Department of Education for New York State or New York City decides to do this. But I just thought it was a very weird move because I was reading an article about it and they talked about how in de Blasio's tenure as mayor, he's only announced something like 5 or 7 snow days in all of the years that he's been mayor.
Right, they rarely close. Another reason
why he's the worst.
Yeah.
Also why he's the worst. And so it was just a very weird thing because it rarely happens.
Right.
And so the fact that they, I just think it's very cruel. I just think, just give him a break. Who cares? It's one day. Let them be children. Let them enjoy. Let them have fun. And that seems to be the general sentiment. Some people were talking, I was reading the New York Times comment section, which tends to be a little more thoughtful, or I mean, they post pretty much everyone's responses. Yeah, but they tend to be more sort of longer answers. And someone was saying, oh, I'm a teacher in Philadelphia and you guys need to relax. This is not a big deal. You know, it's so important to make sure that we are consistent with education and we don't ever skip a beat. And everyone was telling him just to shut up because that's a weird answer.
One day is not going to kill. And if it does,
yeah.
You know, if your kid can't handle having a day off in the middle of the week to
randomly it may never it might not even happen,
that's a bigger issue.
Yeah.
I just think it's summer reading. I don't like that.
Summer reading I'm all right with. I feel like you had to keep the brain moving.
I disagree.
I did hate summer reading.
It caused more stress for me. But anyway, that's off topic.
I think when you're a child, summer reading is good. As you get older, I'm not sure what benefit it really has.
There was no benefit to us reading a 1,000-page book over the summer at Miss Gavin.
Yeah, we had to read The Once and Future King when we were 14, and it was awful. Oh, we also read Atlas Shrugged.
That was in the summer.
1,000 pages.
Yeah. Also, we had to read The Once and Future King, and that was a lot, too.
Mm.
That was freshman year. That was horrible. Yeah. The other thing I was going to say back to the snow day thing is I think part of the reason why maybe they haven't announced as many snow days is just the snow doesn't quite stick in New York as it does.
No, it doesn't accumulate
in suburbia.
So
I don't really know what like a New York City kid's snow day looks like. But like for us, there's nothing better than getting that phone call in the morning that you have a snow day.
I think it's the same. You go to the park, you sled, have snowball fights.
There's a park.
There are many parks throughout New York City.
Well, yeah, but is it really going to like accumulate in Madison Square or, you know?
We had that big snowstorm in February and then it accumulates. So yeah, I mean, if it's a big enough snowstorm for school to be canceled in New York City, it's because it's a fairly decent amount of snow. I was going to say the reason why they were saying that they wanted to do this was because they have to have 180 days of instruction throughout the year. And with all the holidays and now Juneteenth is a holiday and all of these things, it's making it very difficult for them to reach the 180-day sort of requirement. And that snow days could impact that. And I don't know what happens if they don't meet 180 days, but I just thought it was odd. I feel like you can just have snow days be an exemption to the rule because it's a weather event and you can't predict it. And so let's say there is a snow day that doesn't count against you to meet the 180. I just think like there's a simple solution to that. And I'm just sort of, I feel like the requirement for 180 days, what happens if it's 179? It's not a big deal.
I think snow days. I think they build in snow days into the schedule. And then if you like go over like 3 snow days or whatever it was, at least this is how it was where we went to school. Then they take away like the Monday after Easter, the Friday before Memorial Day.
The way they made it sound, Jen, was that snow days were not built into the 180-day threshold because having a snow day, so there's no allowance for snow days because having one snow day would put them behind on the 180-day threshold, which seems silly, but there you have it. And so that's the reasoning. And I feel like since a snow day is a weather event, and there may be things going on, perhaps that can be an exemption to the rule and it won't count against them. I think there's a simpler solution than eliminating snow days. I think it's ridiculous. I really hope that they reverse course, because the public outcry has been pretty significant from parents, teachers, and students, which seems like to be everyone. Thing. Yeah.
You know? And, you know, not to mention, how many times in school did you have a day where the teacher just put on a movie? They can deal with having a snow day, all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no joy, like, hearing that phone ring at 5:45, 6 a.m., and knowing that you don't have to go to school that day. You can roll over and go right back to sleep. Yeah, no, exactly. I have not experienced such joy since then. It is so exciting when you know you get to get a sudden day off. Remember all those things that you do, like put a spoon under your pillow or something?
God. Ice in the toilet.
Checking
ice in the toilet.
I used to cut snowflakes and then tape them to my window.
Me too, because that would be like summoning snow.
Yeah. We love it.
Oh, it's so cute.
You would spin around 3 times. I used to do all of it. And I was like, Mom, I have to get a spoon.
Yeah, there's like a dance you could do to literally summon snow. And it is great for teachers too. Like, teachers need a day off too.
Day, whatever. Also, consider New York City has has a significant portion of the population that are living under the poverty line or close to the poverty line, that may not have access to Wi-Fi or tablets on demand.
Unreal.
If there's a snow day,
childcare, if they can't go to work,
childcare, different things. I just think that isn't really considering, the decision doesn't really consider all of the different things that students might be experiencing at home.
Actually, so I guess my childcare argument doesn't make sense because they're not going to school anyway.
Well, you know what? If a parent has to work remotely on a snow day, which might happen, which I've done before, when I can't go to work because of snow, I've worked remotely. And let's say it would be a lot easier for them to just allow their child to just be able to play, watch a movie, hang out. Then they have to be caring for their child and making sure that they're paying attention on Zoom school, which is kind of ridiculous. Or like, let's say a parent has to go into work. Maybe they're a city worker or whatever. And, you know, like, let's say they work for the sanitation department. That doesn't stop because the snow stops, or they're a different public worker. And let's say they could just leave their kid, you know, with the neighbor to hang out and play in the snow. Suddenly, the neighbor has to make sure that they're, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're on Zoom school. I feel like it makes life more difficult than it needs to be.
Got it. Agreed.
Yeah. So I'm heated about it.
We agree with this hot take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not that hot.
This is a true hot take. Mm-mm. Yeah, it's not.
It's cold.
Yeah.
She chilly.
Like ice.
Any other hot takes, Jackie?
I think I am set.
All right. Kira, you have a hot take this week.
I have a hot take.
Congratulations.
Just came to me. Thank you so much. It's kind of wild. Love is dead. Dead as can be.
Love is dead news.
And love is dead news. Bill and Melinda Gates are getting a divorce after 27 years of marriage. And I'm fascinated more than anything with the mentality.
Is there hope for the rest of us?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, who gets married if in 27 years you're just going to get divorced?
All right,
for the
last
chapter of your life?
Obviously, it's their marriage. However, I feel like after 27 years, you might as well just try to make it
push
work
through
as much as you can. Because I don't think that Bill and Melinda Gates have a toxic marriage where they hate each other. I think they probably, I mean, I don't know what their relationship is like, but I don't think it's, I don't know. Maybe I'm saying too much, but
I really don't know anything about
I would maybe
them.
Try more. I don't know how much they try.
I feel like they,
I'm
in their message, they said that they like went through therapy. They tried to like work things out. I mean, I'm sure they were having problems for a
people
long
don't just
time.
Like get divorced like
after 27
they
years.
Yeah,
no, kids.
That's true.
I probably put
it's
my foot in my mouth
decision.
On that one, but
I think
I guess it's just like after 27 years. Wow.
Well, yeah, no, I do think it's fascinating from the perspective of like, okay, their kids are kind of grown. I think their oldest is around our age. So you're kind of entering that like last, not to be depressing, but it's like that last chapter of life, like retirement phase where you're kind of just hanging out. So it's kind of an interesting time to get divorced because also you don't necessarily want to be alone for that last chapter. So like, are you going to find somebody new? But it's also like a exciting time, retirement time, because now you have like, you can go do things that maybe you didn't get a chance to. I don't know that Bill Gates hasn't gotten a chance to do a lot of things that he wanted to do. Like, they might be okay. I don't know.
Bill Gates has sort of been retired forever.
It's just an interesting time to get divorced, I think. I'm also, this might be a scandalous opinion. I'm like pro-divorce in the sense that like, if you're not happy, go get your happiness, you know? Like,
I agree.
You don't have to stay.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Like, marriage is definitely an interesting thing. It's interesting to pick somebody at 20 to 30 years old and be like, yeah, you forever. So I'm kind of pro people being like, you know what? Not you anymore. I've changed.
Yeah.
Let's do something else.
The thing with divorce is it, and clearly in this case, it gets so messy once like money's involved.
For sure.
You essentially become one person. You buy homes together. Your whole lives merge financially. And it's very hard to then untangle all of those things. So it will be interesting to see how this all shapes up, similar to like the Jeff Bezos divorce situation. But yeah, like, is there hope for the rest of us? Like, you know, this gives me anxiety. Like, if you're with someone for so long and then all of a sudden, I mean, I guess it's not all of a sudden. Clearly, they've seen this coming, but
right.
It's sad.
It is sad.
But I am going to set my Hinge age range to 65 now.
Oh.
See if I can find Bill. Location, Seattle.
I don't care how 65. Much money Bill has. I have no desire to be with him.
Obviously, I'm kidding. There's plenty of wealthy men in New York that I could go after, I'm sure, if I really wanted to.
For real. I'm like, there are plenty younger.
I think Bennett from The Bachelor is super desperate for a companionship, so maybe you can find him.
He's not too bad looking, so.
He just looks like such a finance bro, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right, well, thank you for sharing, Kira. That was a big hot take. I mean, I have a couple things I could talk about, but there's like really one hot take that I want to talk about, and that is Cruel Summer. My roommate and I have been watching it, and it's on Freeform, but I think you could stream it on Hulu. And so that's what we've been doing. It's still ongoing. It's not like bingeable at the moment. It's coming out like every Tuesday or whatever it is. Definitely Pretty Little Liars vibes. But it's also kind of like This Is Us, where you have the different time periods and you don't know, like, you know, they're hinting at things that are happening in the future and you're trying to figure out like what happened in the past that has like led to what's going on in the future. So it's definitely a little cheesy. It's Freeform, similar to Pretty Little Liars, but it is sort of like this crime mystery where you're trying to figure out like how certain people are related to this crime that happened in this small town and all of that stuff. So we've really been enjoying it. And so I would recommend if you're into all of that stuff.
What is it on?
It is on Hulu, but it's a Freeform show. So if you have Freeform, formerly ABC Family, so you could watch it there. So I would recommend if you have not watched yet. But yeah, the other two things I just wanted to quickly mention. One is Billie Eilish on the cover of Vogue is hot.
On point.
Hot.
She
and you know
so
what?
So good.
So good. I'm into the blonde.
Me too.
Right? She looks so good with that hair.
The thing is, as well, is Billie Eilish has been known for, you know, wearing kind of baggier clothing because she doesn't want people to sexualize her body and all that. And obviously, if you've seen this cover, it is very sexualized. She's like wearing like lingerie, corset kind of thing.
Versace like corset. I love
but
it.
But it's still very covered, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. It definitely isn't that revealing. But it is a very
tight,
sexy cover.
Yeah.
Figure hugging.
And, you know, she's gotten some backlash. Like, you've been sitting here saying that you don't want to be sexualized and have been wearing, like, very baggy
let
clothing.
Let her wear whatever the hell she wants.
And, yeah, that's the thing. Like, let a girl change her mind. Let her take control over her body and, you know, empower empowerment, okay? Like, just let her do her and, like, celebrate her when she looks hot and don't feel like you need to sexualize her regardless of what she's wearing.
Right. Let a girl I think live. The whole thing was she wanted control over
yes.
her yeah. sexualization, you know? Like, if,
exactly.
Like, when she, we kind of forget Billie Eilish is really young, you know?
Yeah, she's 19.
When Ocean Eyes came out, she was, like, 13. So I can understand why you're going through all those body changes and whatnot. You don't necessarily want other people's opinions. And now she's 19, yeah. coming into her own, and she's like, here you go, world. I look hot.
Yeah. I mean, she'd been hot. So mm-hmm. this just only confirmed it. So shout out to Billie Eilish for taking control over the narrative of her body, which shouldn't mm-hmm. be a narrative anyway, but... Anyway, she looks amazing, so here for that. Last thing I just want to mention is that Bachelor Nation, particularly the last two seasons, have been those people from the last two seasons, rather, have been, like, infiltrating New York City. I'm, like, kind of here for it, but I'm also, like, not. Like, I'm kind of – okay, Abigail, who was on Matt's season, and
yeah.
she was, like, literally at these brunch spots that are down the street from me. And I'm, like, wow. am I going to run into them? I don't know how I feel about this, but also, like, I'm kind of here for it. It's just odd because I think typically Bachelor Nation has flocked to, like, L.A. And for whatever reason, like, now they're all
it's
in New York.
It's refreshing to see them in New York. Yeah.
Yeah. It feels a little bit more realistic to me. I mean, I think it all really started with, like, Tyler Cameron and Matt moving to New York. And then on top of that, like, Peter lives in New York now. And then a lot of the cast that was on Matt's season, like, they all
I just
live in
snorted
New York.
When you said Peter's name.
Oh, yeah. So, and Tayshia and Zach live in New York as well.
I love
so there's
that.
Just,
that
like,
I
a
love.
Lot of them that are here from the past two seasons, I would say. So, like, Claire, Tayshia, their season, and then Matt's season. A lot of those people yeah. are here. Like, Bennett's here. A lot of those guys.
Yeah, well, Bennett's got to do his finance bro thing. He can't do that anywhere else.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is Bennett the one that was, like, in the robe?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So he orders martinis. He would order yeah. martinis at the cocktail.
I love that. That's a good match for you, Jen. I feel like...
Listen, like, here's the thing. Like, jokingly, yes. Also kind of not jokingly. Like, I would love to marry a guy who has some money and, like, we have, like, a house in the Hamptons and live this lavish lifestyle. But, like, obviously...
He's also a lot of energy,
like,
you know?
He's a little seems concerning. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I enjoy people with a lot of energy, but, like... His energy is not always the kind of energy.
It's a little, it can be a little.
He's pretentious and condescending.
Yeah.
At times.
Yeah.
And that's not, you know, it's fun to watch on TV though. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Can't wait to see them all in Paradise.
Probably insufferable
in
person, but it's funny on television.
Bachelor in Paradise in New York. That would be great.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're like going to Tao and like, that's like, you know, they mingle.
Oh my God.
All that stuff.
That actually probably
they would all
be a
go to
show.
They yes. probably all go to Cipriani's and order French fries.
There was a Absolutely. Show on Bravo years ago, and it was never much of a hit, but it was like Rich Kids of New York City, basically.
Wow,
and that's
that
kind of what
annoying.
Bachelor in Paradise in New York would be.
Yes.
Yeah,
rich Absolutely. Kids who don't work in New York City.
Yeah, rich attractive Definitely. People drink drinks and right. yell at each other.
It is interesting though, because I think with Bachelor Nation, you know, obviously there's like a community there and they all like know each other, and then it's like you get to Paradise, and this was like a huge problem on the last Paradise where it's like people are like getting together, hooking up like before the show, and then there's like off-screen drama playing out on screen, and it's hard to keep up, and I don't think that's been the case until more recently. So I'm sure all these people will be on Paradise, so it will be interesting to see what has been happening off screen, because I'm sure at least two of them have hooked up, you know. So.
Mm. Oh, for sure.
We'll see. If I see anyone, I'll let y'all know. I'm on the hunt for our boy
yeah.
Tyler, but we'll let y'all know.
That's the dream.
Yeah. All right, fam. So I think that's pretty much it for this week's episode, unless anyone has any last minute retakes from last week.
All good.
I think we're set.
Thank you guys again for tuning into this week's episode. If you're not already following us at Her Take Pod on Twitter, at Her Take Podcast on Instagram, we're posting some fun content on both of those. And other than that, we hope you have a great rest of your week. Give your moms a little hug, and we'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening.
Stay home, stay safe, get vaccinated. Ciao.
Happy Mother's Day.